Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Jackson stays in the block. Jackson fires, and that will be intercepted in the end zone by Johnson. Karen Johnson, and only Jackson can stop him now. Too late to the end zone. Touchdown.
It is the four-year anniversary of the 103-yard pick six by Taron Johnson on Lamar Jackson, which was the first red zone pick of Lamar Jackson's career. I remember tweeting that out right before. I did get the nickname Joe Stradamus for like a day because of that. Like, yeah, it'd be a good time for Lamar Jackson to throw his first ever red zone pick. And then he threw his first ever red zone pick. And then Johnson returned it. Wearing number 24. Such a weird highlight to watch. Like, it is such an iconic play in Bills history, but I have a tough time watching it. It has nothing to do with him or the play or Jackson. Just, it's just so weird to me to watch the game with no fans in the stand. Or in that case, what was it, 6,000? I think there were 6,000 fans in the stand. In the moment, though, I mean, it was euphoria. It was awesome. 4 years since that game. 17-3. It's another one of those Lamar games that I mentioned. Like, the reason he has some criticism about the playoffs is they've lost multiple games in the playoffs where their defense has only allowed 17 points. Or, in that case, 10. Right? How much of it is that one game? Their defense allowed 10 points to the Bills in that football game, and they didn't win. I mean, that's pretty incredible. You're not getting that on Sunday from either one of these teams. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Let's continue to take some phone calls on the matchup. Let's go to Billy in Hamburg. What's up, Billy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Morning.
Hey, I'm excited. But anyway, I was wondering, you know, is there any possible way that the Bills could possibly use all three linebackers, maybe pull DeMar Hamlin off the field, keep Johnson as a roamer, play single high safety. I mean, you get burned, but wouldn't it be like build a wall or some kind of a wall? That's all I'm, you know. I'm just asking you guys. What do you
want to? You want to build a wall for Derrick Henry to stop him? We're asking for ideas, I guess, on how to stop him.
The Bills did, by the way, stop the number one offense in football, who does run it incredibly well.
Yes, they did.
Deep into the third quarter in Detroit. Like, yep. That's a team that runs it amazingly, has a great line, has the best offense in football, and they had answers.
And Montgomery was healthy for that game.
Right.
At least in the beginning, right?
During it, yeah. Like, would the Bills have had answers in week four without any of their guys? If there's no Bernard or no Taron Johnson in that game, would they have the same answers? You know, maybe not.
Maybe.
Of course, one of the things the Bills did in that game also was, score and score early. Here's one.
Yeah.
You want to take the ball first? Anybody want to do that?
Do I want to take the ball first?
McDermott has done that once or twice before. He did it against the Bengals. Took the ball first.
In the playoffs?
I don't know if it was that or if it was the game last year in the regular season. They lose 24-18.
Ooh, right? I think that was that might be right. I think
there is definitely a game against the Bengals where he says ball instead of the double dip scenario. And it very well might have been last year's regular season game because that's the first game they see the Bengals since the playoff defeat.
So play it out, though. Like, what's the reasoning for that would be what? That you're hoping to play with the lead, which maybe keeps them from,
Instead of a double dip, like the double dip is we're going to score before the end of the half and then to start the third quarter, and that bang-bang is of great value to everybody. And I think a lot of people understand how that works.
Well, and Sal made about the weather, too. Like, I don't know if you want to include this, but that if it's that cold, if it's -3 wind chill and you're looking and you're down and looking up at the other team the whole day, like maybe the weather plays more into that team, you know, like not wanting to be there if you're down on the scoreboard all day.
Right, maybe. And down on the scoreboard, you know, you can't quite double dip at the start of the game. But if you play it right, you get the ball first. What did they do against Detroit? It was touchdown, stop, touchdown, bang. It's 14-0.
Right.
And if you get there on Baltimore, can you get them out of the game script that they like a lot? I just – the Bills coaches have shown us that is not something that's off the table for them as an idea, even though it is out of character.
Would they do it? Would they not do it because they could get criticized for it if it doesn't work? If the Ravens did double dip? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd like to think they wouldn't do things based on that, but it would be going out on a limb a little bit. Let's go to Rick and Olean. What's up, Rick?
Yeah, hey, here's an idea that Cleveland used against Tennessee when Henry was playing for Tennessee. You don't laugh at this because it worked for a while until Tennessee figured it out. But Cleveland was running a three-man down front line with five linebackers. Now, what's that do? That takes away the pick, the blockers coming around and trapping. Okay, and it's called what they called a double spy. So one spy on Henry hits him every time, another spy on their quarterback hits him every time. It worked for a while. Tennessee figured it out, and Cleveland had to change. They ended up losing the game. But it was just a thought. I mean, it did work.
Yeah, I had somebody point out to me that the Bills did a decent job on Henry multiple times in Tennessee. The difference is there's no threat of the quarterback running. I mean, Tannehill could move. He's a former wide receiver, but it's not the same. Like, you don't worry about him the same way you worry about Lamar. I mean, five linebackers on the field, well, listen, if Zay Flowers were playing in this game, it might be different. But five linebackers on the field. The Bills play with two linebackers most of the time. Do they have five linebackers on the roster?
Right. Like, what are we doing? Putting Eddie Ulufoshio on the field? Is he even the fifth or is he the fourth?
Yeah.
Joe Andreessen? How big is Joe Andreessen? We think he's that much more adept at tackling Derrick Henry?
No.
He's not a massive human being.
No.
You know, he's probably a little undersized even. Yeah, I don't know. I think the most you're going to see is the third linebacker. And they did, watching some of that game earlier back from the year, like Nicholas Morrow was out there for some snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think he's on the roster anymore. So, okay, you bet better personnel, but you're not doing more than three ever. And even the three, like what is... I still, it's kind of amazing to me. I understand it, and it could matter. It's amazing to me, though, how much we have talked about a depth backup linebacker going into the biggest game of the season in the NFL. But, again, I do get it because you're trying to figure out how to stop him, and when's the last time the Bills had a third linebacker that you felt like was this capable of being out there on the field?
Yeah, right. It's I don't know. The whole week has been about do what got us here. Do the things that got us here. So, nah, I don't know. I wouldn't have a lot of belief they're going to change too much. I mean, maybe it's different this time around, but I've been one to say for 7 years, you can't get me to worry about their run defense. Now, a couple times, that has been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
But they invite the run. They want, don't they want what the Broncos wanted to a degree, which was, we'd like the Ravens to take 12 play drives, get a penalty somewhere, make a mistake, bat a ball down, one down in distance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this defense has been bend but don't break for a long time, and don't get hit over the top. And I think that's one of the signs this defense is a little bit weaker than years past, is that they do get hit over the top occasionally, and they look a little more bendy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, punching that ball out on Sunday, when it's that cold, is it harder to hold on to? Is it easier to punch? Because they've done that. Has Derrick Henry ever fumbled in his life? I feel like I've never seen one. That's an honest question. I feel like I've never seen him actually fumble.
Let me look. I was just looking that the Bills are run defense. This has kind of been a trend all year where it's felt like they have problems in run defense, and then you go look at their numbers and they're actually not that bad. Like they're and run defense, EPA per rush, sixth best in the NFL this year.
Yeah, like they're not getting killed for that.
Henry did fumble 3 times this year.
Yeah, he's
including
got...
against the Bills. I don't remember that fumble. I don't know if he lost it. But he fumbled against the Bills. He fumbled against Denver and then also against Pittsburgh. He did not fumble at all last year for Tennessee, but is fumbles kind of a fluky or like one of these things? Because he had 6 the year before that.
I immediately wonder if some of those this year were like mesh point whatever exchanges credited to the running back. I don't know. Sometimes
sure.
Running back gets dinged with those. Okay. 3 fumbles this year.
3 fumbles this year, 0 last year, and 6 the year before that. So I don't know. I've thought more about, I mean, mistakes on both sides might be hard to predict because both of these teams have been very good at not turning the ball over. But I'm not going to lie. I've wondered about James Cook for this. Like, I feel pretty confident in him right now that you're not going to get mistakes. He had 1 fumble all year, and he did get taken off the field for a drive for that. Was that Detroit? And he had a drop early in the year against Jacksonville, but it was not to the degree that we saw last year, where there was like 4 wide open drops, no one around him, and he could have walked into the end zone. So like Cook has cleaned up the mistakes, but still, I would wonder more about him than I would about Henry.
Yeah.
Doug in Cheektowaga is next. What's up, Doug?
Hey, how you doing? Last caller that said something about 5 linebackers, that's a little crazy. That would never work. I do think 3 linebackers would work if Milano's going to stay in the middle and Dorian Williams could run around like a missile and you go wherever Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry goes, you got to try something, right? You know, and I just think that I know the one caller called before saying about can't have Taron Johnson on the field 100% or something he said. You got to mix it up a little bit. I really think I know the Bills stopped the Detroit Lions running backs, but the difference is they're smaller, shiftier guys. This is a train we're trying to go against. This is a train. So
yeah.
You got to get Dorian Williams down there a little bit. Thank you.
The thing about a train is that they can stop a lot easier when they're not going full speed, right? So if you I'm about to drop the line gap integrity, Joe.
Mm.
You know, if you are where you're supposed to be, maybe he gets... I mean, Derrick Henry has not run for 200 yards in every single game. He has not been completely unstoppable every single week. The last 4 have been incredible. But against the Giants, he had 14 carries for 67 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Eagles, he had 19 for 82. Pittsburgh, 13 for 76. Cincinnati, 16 for 68. I don't know. Is it a guarantee he's got to go bananas here? I mean, the Browns, 11 for 73.
Wow.
Bengals, 15 for 92.
How many of those games is the Ravens defense giving up points? I wonder, like, how easily correlated are those two things? Why do I have to do that?
14 for 67. It doesn't matter. He doesn't run any less hard.
Yeah.
14 carries for 67 yards. It's 4.8 per carry.
All
like,
I
that's
mean,
not that.
Yeah. All I mean
to 28 say, for 130? Like, okay.
Right. All I mean to say is all this attention we're paying to, hey, Dorian Williams is the key to limiting Derrick Henry in this game, is really the real way to limit him, just Josh Allen scores points and that's it?
I don't know. I mean, it depends. If you have to find a way to force punts. That's what we're all trying to do, right?
Like these
find
games,
a way to force punts.
Not, you're right. Like, it's not all of them. They gave up. He had 13 for 65 in a game. They only gave up 18 points to the Steelers. But they gave up 35 to Cincinnati. I mean, that's another lower level one.
Sure. That's 5 yards per carry. You've got some games where it's just about straight volume,
right,
and some games where it's about absolute domination. He ran for 7.2 per carry against the Steelers last week on 26 carries. I mean, he had 6.6 against the Browns, but only 11 carries. So sometimes, you know, the you could talk them out of the volume. Sometimes you can just – I just don't think we should treat it like he is a literal unstoppable force, because, you know, they lost games this year. They lost the game to the Browns. They lost the game to the Steelers.
Mm-hmm. Zach in West Seneca is next. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. Good morning. This is really Alan Jackson point I got here. The touchdowns, I looked this up, are staggering. I'm driving, I might butcher this by one or two, but it's so staggering. 290 total touchdowns, rushing, receiving, postseason. I know there's a couple more games in there for Allen, but rushing, 290 to 210. 290 to 80 touchdowns. That's almost like two, that's like two, maybe three good seasons better than him. I mean, three-time MVP? It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't think they're on the same planet. I put Allen in Mahomes, you know, 1A, 1B, and then at least Allen sometimes wins big playoff games. He hasn't beaten Mahomes, I get it, but I don't ever, when I'm not watching the Bills, look at Lamar Jackson and say he's gonna knock off some big-time guy. He kind of reminds me of Tua for this, like, hey, man, get your yards, get your rushing. I'm not trying to totally knock him, but, like, I don't put him in the same category. Great regular season quarterback, but look up the big games. Lost to Kansas City this start of this year, lost to them last year. I mean, where's the big-time wins? I mean, he can't even beat Pittsburgh, and they're terrible. I mean,
he just beat Pittsburgh last week. He beat Pittsburgh multiple times this season. He can certainly beat Pittsburgh.
Finally now, but a month and a half ago, he lost by like 3 points to them, and this is supposed to be a MVP season. Listen, he's great, but you take away the scheme, and you take away a big-time rushing attack. This past year reminds me of his first MVP season, which was probably the only one he was deserving of in 2019. It reminds me of that, where the running game was going wild. They had a couple guys that year. Henry's just getting all of it this year. I think you shut that down at home, and I think the Bills got a chance. And I don't think it's necessarily close. He's just never really shown me that, like, big-time games. And I know the 21...
Well, you're making two different points here. You're making a point about playoff success and actual ability. And in the playoffs, no, he has not done it yet. But that could all change in the next week to 2 to 3 weeks. But on actual just merit, the dude is amazing and has been amazing. And to talk about the running attack, it's only good. He's only good because he has the running attack. He's the reason the running attack is as good as it is. And that's even true of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has never had a season as good as this. His yards per carry is the highest it's ever been by a full half yard. And that's because, probably, of the presence of Lamar Jackson. Like, Lamar makes that go. If instead of Lamar Jackson back there, it was Jared Goff handing off, we would have a significantly different conversation. Because, you know, Goff can still throw, but he's not going to get loose and he's not going to extend every play on a level like Allen does. So, I mean, you say you're not trying to take anything away from him and you're trying to put him closer to Tua than to Allen. I mean,
yeah,
you're out here doing work to make it sound like he's not any good.
I mean, he's 1-4 against the Chiefs. Okay, there's a lot of guys that are that. So, like, all right, you want to tell me, like, he can't beat Kansas City? Okay, fine. He has beaten Allen twice. He did it this year. Right? Like, so, okay, there's that. He is, I don't know how many of these games would be Burrow. He's 10-2 against the Bengals in his career. So he can beat that guy.
The Bills can't beat the Bengals.
Right. He can beat that guy, and that guy is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So, like, okay, yes. He's got to do it in the playoffs to get the full credit, sure. But, like, I think there is a, it's, I think too far. Like, him versus Tua for that. It's Tua, there are clear deficiencies in his game physically that are just so easily to be seen. Jackson does not have a single one of those. Nothing. Like, his arm, he's got a big arm, he's great in the pocket, he's the fastest quarterback I've ever seen in my life. He makes guys miss more than any quarterback I've ever seen in my life. Like, he is, it's just, it's so different. He's a special talent athletically. And that, like, I don't know how you don't see that, and like how he isn't and a huge threat.
The other part of that is, that's not to sit in here and say, like, the Bills are going to lose. It's more, if they win, they deserve a ton of credit for it. You know?
Right.
Like, the Bills getting a couple of completions on Patrick Surtain last week. A ton of credit on that. He had not given up a touchdown like that all year, and the Bills schemed up something and caught him off guard and beat him. That doesn't mean he's no good. It means you beat a great player. So, for Lamar, like, he's one of the four best quarterbacks in football. There are it's four.
Yeah.
It's Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow. That's the four.
Would this be his signature win if he won on Sunday?
Yes. Yes.
Is that true of Allen, too?
No.
Maybe it would be true of Allen, too.
I don't know. Allen's signature win feels like the perfect game because it was just such a different...
Right.
I mean, they didn't punt against Belichick in the playoffs. I mean, that's pretty legit.
In 0 degree.
Right, right. But I get what you're saying. But it would be Lamar's biggest win of his career in the NFL. I mean, they made they made the AFC Championship game last year. Don't tell me who they beat. I got to try to remember who they beat.
Who beat them? You're saying
when Baltimore got to the AFC Championship game, who did they beat on the way?
With Flacco?
No. Last year when Baltimore made the AFC.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying they won the AFC Championship game.
No.
So, okay,
who did they beat to get there? The Jags?
No, they beat the Texans, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's the same Final Four this year as it was last year.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody really looks at that win for Lamar as any sort of signature win.
No.
But this one...
No,
this
has the chance to remember it.
Right, this has the chance to like kind of set the NFL record for viewership. I mean, the leader in the clubhouse in the divisional round is last year Chiefs-Bills. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to beat it.
Yeah. Alan in a car. What's up, Alan?
Hey, real quick point. Cook has zero fumbles this year. He had one last year against Denver where he got benched on one of the first play series of the game, and that was he's had two fumbles in his career, one in the beginning of the year, his rookie year, and then one last year. But anyway,
he had a fumble against New England this year. Maybe he didn't lose it, so maybe that's why we're seeing different numbers.
He got it right. Okay, you're talking about ones that he didn't lose to. Anyway, my point is this. The Bills cannot lose this game. You don't lose three divisional games at home with a guy like Allen. You cannot lose this game. Number two is if you look at what Russell Wilson was able to do that second half against the secondary, I mean, if you take away that Pickens borderline offensive pass interference, that's a game. And who knows how it would have finished. If Pittsburgh plays any kind of defense in that game, it looked like they went to sleep and didn't care. I think they have a shot at that game. My other point is this. Since everybody talks about how good the defense has gotten with the Ravens, they've gone from 30th to 31st in the secondary in passing. So they're still 31st ranked defense against the pass in the league. I think this is a similar kind of a weather game as the New England game, and I think that the Bills, I'm picking the Bills by 10. And I think they've got a game plan for this. I think this is their year. I picked them in the beginning of the year, even when everybody else doubted. I pick them every year a lot of times, too.
If you pick them every year, it's kind of tough.
But I did say when they got off to that 3-2 start and they blew that, they blew that Houston game. I said, watch, this team's going to make a nice run. And they did. And I think that with this game coming up Sunday, I think with the spread is now down to a half. So it went from 1.5 Buffalo to 1 Baltimore. I don't know what site you're looking at, but it's now a minus. It's in favor of them by a half. I think it's going to be a pick'em game. And I look for the Bills to win this game by 10. I just think the crowd, the weather, everything's just going to – and Lamar, I just can't picture him winning a big game like this. I just can't do it. I think he's a great quarterback, but I take Burrow of him in a heartbeat. But that's just my opinion. Mine is Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, and then Jackson. Anyway, I'll take up and listen to you. Take care.
All right. I can't get behind you can't picture him winning a big game. That, to me, that's crazy. But he has to do it. He does have to do it. He might win three and win the Super Bowl. I mean, their offense is, you know, scary. What are the odds right now for the Super Bowl? Are they a better – I think they have – are they favored over the Bills?
The Ravens? Are minus one and a half.
No, I mean to win the Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl, they are – I think they have to be a little higher than the Bills, wouldn't they?
It is Lions, Chiefs, right, Eagles, and then Ravens ahead of the Bills, yes, 470 to 550.
Okay, that's not a big difference, though.
Who's sixth? You've got Lions, Chiefs, Eagles, Ravens, Bills. Who's sixth?
The Commanders?
The Rams.
The Rams, right, yeah. That makes sense.
Yep. And the Texans are the longest long shot.
By how much? Are they like a really long shot?
Yeah, the Texans are almost where Leicester City was to win the... No, that's not right.
No.
No, this is 4,400. The Texans are plus 4,400 to win.
I think Leicester was plus 50,000.
Yeah, that might be right.
Because it was 5,000 to 1. Yeah. They're almost double what the next closest team is, which is Washington. Yeah.
My wife tried it. She said, "Can you talk me into how the Texans can beat the Chiefs?" And I said, "I have no idea how I would do it."
I have one way. One way. Okay. The Chiefs have what? A guard playing right tackle and a guy that was retired 6 weeks ago playing left tackle. How they beat them is that Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter just destroy those two all day.
And they win the game like 10-7?
Like, they need to – Mahomes has taken a few more sacks this year. So, right, like, they need – you know how it happens? Those two edge rushers are just hell-raising all day, and they got to get, like, turnovers. They got to get – a Mahomes fumble, which I know doesn't happen often, and like maybe a defensive touchdown, like that's the best I could do, though. Like, is though they're not going to be able to block those two. And that's
JC writes in about the Bengals game. When McDermott took the ball first, I remember him saying he did it because he knew the weather was going to get worse in the second half.
Ooh, well, so Pat Hammer said this morning that it might snow in the second half, didn't he?
Yeah, but maybe right. Do your sports science people, if you've got, you know, on the Bills staff saying, "Hey, we anticipate our individual player performance to drop, you know, 7% every hour because of time spent in the conditions." And with that, I don't know. Like, I'm just kind of spitballing here. Would you say we'll take the ball? We want to take the ball when we're at our best and when things kind of get nasty and people can't play the same way, like throwing the ball especially. Like, let Lamar's hand get colder and colder and colder as he doesn't wear a glove. Although I don't think Allen wears a glove in this scenario either. I don't know. Just thinking about it, if it's something they could change.
4 years ago today was the
Taron Johnson pick six. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wearing number 24.
Who wears that now? Cole Bishop.
Yeah, who I would not expect to have a pick six in this game personally, but.
It'd be sweet if he did.
It would be.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
I would take that.
803-0550. If you're on hold, stick there. We'll get through some more calls. Bills and Ravens, Sunday at 6:30. It's Jeremy and Joe, WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Terrell Bernard gave us a quote of, you know, the man in the river. It was an old Greek, I think it was Hercules or something like that. And he was saying that the man gets in the river once, and the next time he gets in the river, it's not the same man and it's not the same river. The past is the past. We have a huge opportunity in front of us to go out there and achieve all our dreams. We get one game to go do it. How can you not get up for moments like this, for games like this? You know, Bills Mafia is going to be there rocking. It's going to be late. It's going to be cold. It's everything that we want. We're healthy. They're healthy. And this is what it's all about.
Von Miller on wise words from Terrell Bernard. Not Hercules. I looked. I didn't know either. Heraclitus? I've never heard of this guy, but
I don't know.
He was a philosopher. Yeah. He was remembered for his cosmology, in which fire forms the basic material principle of an orderly universe. Obviously.
Is this from the book that A.J. Brown was reading on Sunday?
That's a good question. What else did he say? Yeah, the man in the river, definitely. All is flux, nothing stays still. The only thing constant is change. They're attributed to him. The road up and the road down is the same.
So we're reading philosophy books to get ready for Ravens. What about, like, you know, watching like Rocky IV instead? That get you fired up, right?
Yeah, sure, I'm into that.
Or any given Sunday, just watch the Al Pacino speech before the game. Could do that.
I still have the Bills as a 1.5-point underdog, which would be the first time in 18 playoff games to be a home dog.
Yeah. 67, I think, which is the AFL. Doesn't really count. How do they know? How do they know who was favored in 1967? They must have it written down somewhere.
I don't know.
I don't think they've been a home... Did you say 18 games or 18 playoff games?
18 playoff games.
Okay.
Last home dog.
Yeah, when's the last time? Because even when the Chiefs have been here, they have not been a. Were they not favored last year in the playoffs?
That's a great question.
That's playoffs.
Outside of like a week 18 game with backups, have they been favored at home in every game since 2020?
Gotta be. Like, is there. You know what? I wonder. I'm going to look now. I wonder if the last time they were underdogs, they definitely would have been underdogs at home when the Ravens came here in 2019.
Okay, that's right.
Like, Lamar is an MVP candidate, or actually wins that year, right? And Allen is he's fine, but he's not quite there yet. So, I bet they were underdogs that time, but since then, I don't know. I feel like I might want to bet no.
The last time the Bills were home underdogs, I've got it.
Okay.
Their win against the Dolphins in week 17 of 2020.
Yeah, that doesn't count, right? Isn't that Bills backups?
It's expected Bills backups, but then Allen played and dropped 56 on him, didn't he?
He played a half and dropped probably 40. And then I think Barkley threw a bomb to Gabe Davis in the second half.
Okay.
But that's the spread designed around their starters aren't playing.
Yeah, they beat Miami 56-26. That's on the end of 1, 2, 3. I mean, the last time they were home dogs, that same season, they're home against Seattle. They're home against the Rams.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, man. Have they not been a home dog at all since 2019?
I don't think they have. I don't think they have. I'm going to look. I'm almost there, but. So this is new, right? Like, is that gonna be their bulletin board material? That they're home dogs?
Sure.
Because I don't really, there isn't really, you know, you got the MVP debate and you got some social media stuff, but there's not like a big thing here on either side, I don't think, for bulletin board material. They are, the last time they were a home underdog, they were +3 against Seattle.
Okay, Seattle's
in the 2020 season.
So they have not been a home dog since November 8th of 2020.
Correct. Yeah, okay. They were also an underdog to Kansas City that year by 5.5, but that was a month earlier. So yeah, the Seattle game looks like the last time they were an underdog.
Okay. And they beat Seattle 44-34.
And that's the day, maybe the books agreed with me that was the day that I'm like, okay, no, Allen is this good.
You know how many yards he threw for in that game?
7,000.
415.
Woo!
Yep. He threw in that year, 2020,
417,
415, 375, 359 along the way.
That's his best year, right?
Statistically, yeah.
It's hard to beat. He also didn't really, what were the picks in that? 10? That's fine, whatever.
Yep.
10 picks.
Three different receivers. I mean, that's the Diggs, Beasley, Davis, Sanders?
No, it's Brown. But
Brown, that's right,
Brown's
John
maybe is hurt.
It's funny, like, the leading receiver in each game, it was a lot of digs, but Beasley 100, Beasley 112, Beasley 109, Beasley 130.
Yep.
Davis 107. No, you had lots of producers.
How good do you think you would be at predicting or remembering?
They never had a 100-yard rusher that whole season.
How good do you think you'd be at remembering who led the Bills in receiving in each game this year?
Probably
I've got
not
it in front
great.
Of me.
Probably not great.
Like, especially early in the year, like, would you possibly remember who they... If we worked backwards, maybe it'd be easier.
This would be like playing instant trivia with backup quarterbacks and guessing the McCowns. I would just guess Shakir.
No, that's Shakir.
Like Ty Johnson, Shakir, Kincaid.
Shakir, I'll tell you, was only their leading receiver in 6 of their 19 games.
Okay.
And
yeah, I don't know.
The rest is all mixed around.
Reggie Gilliam.
No, there's no, your boy Tyrell Shavers, though, is on here the one time.
That's right.
Against
That's
the
funny.
Jets.
That's funny.
Working backwards, this is how it's gone. Samuel, Shavers, Cook, Johnson, Shakir, Knox, Shakir, Hollins, Davis, Shakir, Coleman, Davis, Coleman, Shakir, Coleman. So what's that, like 7 different guys? You've had Knox on here. Ray Davis was their leading receiver in a game 2 times this year. Shavers makes the list. Hollins. Everybody eats, right?
Yep.
This game, it will be Coleman, is my guess. I'll bet Coleman.
All right.
Boundary corner. Apparently weak against bigger receivers. That's Coleman.
And
I'm also starting to maybe worry a little bit about Amari Cooper in the cold because he said it on a podcast apparently too that he hates the cold.
In the cold.
There's a video of him in Chicago where he looks freezing cold. Like, I don't know. He's probably fine.
Listen, you can't get upset for someone looking cold.
It's just
worth pointing out. Everybody that's going to be at the game is going to be decked out in $500 worth of stuff to keep them warm, and he's going to wear a football uniform.
Yeah, but
if he looks cold, we have to allow that.
This is like, I got to pull it back up. This is him, like, he's got hand warmers under his jersey, like he's wearing a sweatshirt underneath, and he's,
okay,
like, almost clinched up, and this is him on the field, like getting ready for a play. The score, I got to pull it back up, man. This score looked like it was out of hand, too, though, so I don't know. Hopefully
the old sweatshirt under the pads is always a weird look.
Yeah. The hoodie. That was a thing for a little bit. Did they ban that, though? There was James Jones. Remember the receiver from the Packers? He, for like 2 years, wore a hoodie under his jersey. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember the last time I've seen that, if it's even allowed anymore. Like, if Allen came out wearing... Actually, it happened in college football this year. Somebody wore a hoodie under their jersey. Like, if Allen came out wearing, and there was a hood, you know, underneath all that hair and helmet.
Yeah. Did he grow his hair out for the warmth?
That's a good question. I think he grew his hair out because that's the look now. Right?
Maybe.
We've gone from the fade cuts to the, I think the flow is back.
Flow is in?
I think flow is in.
You're the young guy. You tell me.
I think flow is in. Yeah.
All right. They've got some flow. Some. I just had a cut the other day, last week. Anyway, we got time for a phone call very fast. Yeah, sure, why not? Let's do it very, very, very fast. Anthony and Kenmore. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. Glad to hear. So I just got a quick question. So obviously, you know, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, but do you think that this would be, you know, it's two MVP candidates matching up, right? You know, that's what everybody's talking about. It's going to be a great game. But do you think this would be a game where, like, Super Josh just kind of has to come out a little more? Like, we've seen glimpses of it this entire season, but he's got, you know, a whole offensive line and everything that around him is where he hasn't had to come out as much. But do you guys think that this would be a game where he kind of needs to bring that up a little more? Or do you think this is one where he just kind of still just needs to trust the process, trust the coordinators, and just kind of, you know, do what he can while he's out there? That was just my point. I hung up. I'll listen to you guys. But thank you very much, and go Bills.
It's a good question. We had the stats on this. I did it when we talked about the Chiefs game. I charted how many times Allen runs against other teams versus against the Chiefs, and whether that is by design or if that is putting on the cape. Mm-hmm. He has double-digit carries every time he plays the Chiefs. Sometimes that's design runs, QB power. Sometimes that's, I got to make something happen. I think this might as well be a Chiefs game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that fair? The stakes, it might as well be the Chiefs. It's the Ravens, different opponent, but yeah, I mean, if I were betting Allen's rushing attempts in this game, I would go over because I think he'll do what it takes. I think him putting the cape on is what we're all kind of counting on. He's gonna have to on some level. So thank you. Yeah. 803-0550 Extendo Sports coming up, then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. Chris Trapasso just tweeting out some numbers on a common thread with playoff teams, and that is how well they run the ball in addition to having a great quarterback. Success rate. The number one team in success rate in the playoffs is the Bills running the ball. Number two in the playoffs is Baltimore.
Okay.
EPA per rush ranked. Number one team in the NFL, EPA per rush, is?
Ravens.
The Bills.
The Bills.
Well, Ravens are third.
Who's second?
Philly.
Okay.
Not just the Bills are number one in EPA per rush in the league, not just the playoffs. In EPA per rush, the playoff teams rank 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 11, 12, and 19.
Who would have thought? Best two quarterbacks in the world, and it's going to come down to the run games.
Well,
maybe.
They make it happen. All right, so what else? Tomorrow's Football Friday.
Yep. If you had a poll for the quarter century team for the Sabres, what would you have done different?
I probably would have included...
Talinder?
Yeah, probably. I don't know what to do about Hasek. It's kind of tough that he's the second goalie, having played, what?
Yeah, the only other guy you could do, I think, is Allmark or Marty.
Yeah.
Marty had the longevity. Allmark actually had good numbers. But even he only played, I saw, I think I would have argued for him, but he only played like 30 more games than Hasek did, honestly.
Right. Yeah, sure.
In that time period. I think I would have gone Chatan over Roy because of the era. I mean, he scored 37 goals in the dead puck era. I mean, I know Roy put up numbers, but come on, it was post-lockout. Sure. Like, there were a billion penalties being called.
Reinhardt deserve a spot there anywhere?
He would be maybe right on the same plane for me as the two I just mentioned. I'm glad they put Eichel on the team. I was wondering if they were going to maybe not.
There might have been some desire to not do that.
They had to. I mean, it would have come out. So it would have come off as, I don't know, like if the team would have said, like, don't put him on there for us. Like, it would have been petty. Very petty.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Yep. Danny Briere only played 225 games for this team, and he's their best forward. Sweet.
I used to like to play that game. Who played more games, you know, blank or blank?
The
and if we go games played for the Sabres, like...
Who played more games, Drury and Briere combined or Zemgus Girgensons?
Oh, Girgensons for sure.
For sure?
Yeah.
How many did he play for the Sabres? 688. Okay, yeah, it's gonna be him by a lot.
Yeah.
Jeez. What if I include playoffs? Nope, doesn't matter. Yeah. Playoffs included, doesn't matter.
All right, we'll go to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Stay tuned. You know, Ravens and Bills previews continue. We're back for a Football Friday tomorrow. Stay warm, get ready, gear up. Gonna be a chilly one on Sunday at 6:30. Jeremy and Joe saying talk to you tomorrow for Football Friday. And send Josh your ideas for the Football Friday mixtape. He tweeted it out. We retweeted it. Football Friday mixtape. We'll take some requests on the tunes that will get you in the right mindset. That's tomorrow.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.